All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Trump, day four. Trump thumps the WEF. Great day again. Really great day. Trump, for some of this, we'll get into more of these in a minute, but executive orders that release the RFK, JFK, MLK files, pardon for 23 pro-life protesters who merely were outside of an abortion clinic, never violated the FACE Act, which is the FACE Act is that you're not allowed to block people from going into an abortion clinic, physically block people. They were all prosecuted under the FACE Act, but never blocked anybody from going into an abortion clinic because, as always, they hauled these pro-lifers in front of blue jurisdictions with blue judges and blue juries and blue grand juries and blue appellate courts and blue prosecutors so that you have absolutely no chance of being found innocent, even though you are blatantly innocent because you haven't even met the elements of the crime. Tom, you're telling me that people were put in prison for blocking people from getting into an abortion clinic when they never actually blocked anybody from going to an abortion clinic? Yeah. Just like all of Trump's charges, exactly the same thing. And again, I correlate it to this. Why don't we just hold trials at the RNC? Because all of our people are being tried at the DNC, being found guilty of felonies that the DNC, Democratic National Committee, labels them as, and that's now they're considered felons, and now the Democrats can campaign on that. That's all that it is. That's what our judicial system is. It's basically, and I'm talking about in blue states, and lo and behold, you know, notice that Trump was never tried in a red state, and they actually tried to try him in West Palm Beach, Florida, with Eileen Cannon as judge, and it didn't work out so well because you have a constitutionalist judge. They haul them in front of blue judges and blue juries and blue jurisdictions. I mean, Alex Jones, Navarro, Bannon, Flynn, all the J6ers, Donald Trump in New York, Donald Trump in Atlanta, Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. in civil and criminal cases. That is the current status of our judicial system. It's basically the DNC hauling people in front of a DNC panel, finding them guilty because it's all politically motivated so that they can label us as something. As an insurrectionist, as a seditious conspirator, guilty of seditious conspiracy, whatever it may be, violator of the FACE Act, convicted felon for what? That you paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 and you marked it down. You didn't hide it. You just marked it down as a lawyer expense, as a legal expense, which is exactly what it was. And they just haul you in front of the DNC, and you're found guilty of 34 felonies, so they can call you convicted felon during the campaign. That's where we are at. So Trump is pardoning these people that should be pardoned. Again, listen, I'm not middle of the road on J6. I'm just honest about J6. There's people that committed crimes that are Trumpsters. Was it instigated by the feds? A lot of it was. But if you go in there and you break a window, you know you committed a crime. If you're sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk with your feet up, you're done, okay? I mean, listen, I love you. You're a Trump supporter, but you're a dumb Trump supporter, okay? But even with all that, and with the most serious crimes that were committed on J6, whether it was by Antifa or instigated by Antifa, instigated by the feds, the State Department, NGOs of the FBI, CIA or anybody else, the most serious crimes have already been thoroughly paid for. And most people were sentenced when they should have gotten 1 month of probation. They got 3 years in prison. All right. And Trump is letting all these people out. Now, a lot of the people on J6 are completely innocent also. Out of the 1,500 that were pardoned, many of them are completely and totally innocent of the charges that they were charged with. Many of them were charged with an apropos charge like unlawful parading or trespassing, which again is a notice to appear with a $300 fine, you go home. You're actually adjudicated with no adjudication so that you have no criminal record. That's what you normally do with protests. And that's what 99.9% of the people did, which was nothing. But they were charged under the Enron statute of obstruction for 1512, which put them all as convicted felons. Again, blue judge, blue jury, blue jurisdiction. You're being tried by all Democrats. You might as well just hold all these trials at the DNC. And Trump is pardoning all these people. And even people, get this now, this controversial statement. People who hit cops. Remember, no cops were killed. Get this one. There's no cops seriously injured either. And you had Gunnell. We showed Gunnell yesterday claiming that he was beaten over the head. Had his feet were, you know, severely injured. And his head was severely, and there's no injuries at all on the man. All right. Even if somebody did hit a cop. Listen, I was a cop for 25 years. I'm pro police. But even if you did hit a cop, they've already served almost 4 years for it. And there's no cop seriously injured. We can get into it if there was a cop that was seriously injured, if there was a cop that was killed, obviously, and there wasn't. Even though to this day, they're still claiming it. Just like Hussein Obama in one of his last speeches, I guess now he's getting together with Jennifer Aniston, and it appears that him and Michelle are breaking up, him and Big Mike are breaking up, and he's going to go out with Jennifer Aniston. That's that big national story now there, that their divorce, I'm serious, guys, their divorce announcement. It's supposed to be imminent. This is now breaking out as a real deal, and nobody's denying it. And he and Mike is refusing to be seen with Brock. So, I mean, this is starting to happen now. I don't even know what I was getting off on to, but with that now, I lost track of what I was talking about. But anyway, so, all right, we'll get into Trump in Davos in just a minute. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Lady Vu is on. Why Not Me is on. Joe Heathen is on. Six Lynn is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Mickey 44 is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Joe Heathen's on. Judy Anita's on. Praise Holler is on. Mike Griffith's on. Mickey 44 is on. Why Not Me is on. Six Lynn is on. Aaron, the producer, is on. Aaron's talking to Order in the Court, so I'm assuming Order in the Court is on. Let me see. Confederate One is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Peg McGroin, McGroin Nation is on. Granite 2468 is on. Jim Kohler is on. K4. VMS is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Clean Sanchez, as opposed to dirty, is on. Just Fact is on. Stefa Toms is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Dave Souders is on. Let me see. I missed a bunch here at the bottom. Uncle Wally's on. Patriot Standard is on. Black Bart 201 is on. Beverly G is on. Conservative Waffles on. Let me see. Sergeant Nick is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Tyler Benz is on. John Phillips is on. Salty Reese's Cup is on. Patriot of the North is on. Let me see. Coco Dominki is on. Let me see. Don Namer is on. George Bodwin is on. Love. There's Order in the Court. Order of the Court is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. So, Trump addresses the World Economic Forum. I'm going to warn you, I don't think this is the world's most exciting podcast tonight. I mean, it's a lot of stuff out of Davos. I don't know if it's exciting to you or not. To me, it is, but you have to cover it because the World Economic Forum, and also London, also Beijing, also the PLA, the CCP, the Democratic Party are our opposition. They're our globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist opposition that want to leverage you into a one world commerce system with a singular access point to all that commerce controlled by them. That's what they want. What the World Economic Forum does is claim, either create or claim a situation that needs mitigation. So they claim disasters, they claim crises, or they create disasters and or create crises. They can claim it or they can create it. Example of creating a crisis is to do gain of function research and then purposely let out the virus that you enhance the transmissibility to humans out into the World Military Games in November of 2020, right after you war gamed it at Event 201. That is creating a crisis, even though the quote unquote pandemic was never a actual health crisis. It was a perceived health crisis. It was a propagandized health crisis. It was an enhanced health crisis so that everyone acted like this was a 99.9 non-survivable virus when it was a 99.997% survivable virus. But it was propagandized as the second coming of the bubonic plague. So that's actually a combination. That's a created crisis And it's an enhanced crisis. And it's also one that they purposely caused. Created crisis would be climate change. They just create that out of thin air and say, climate change is a problem. How's it a problem? I mean, again, I'm seeing the exact same weather. I moved to Florida in 1980. I'm seeing the exact same weather that I saw in 1980. I moved here and it was cold this time of year because it's about the time of year I moved here. It's cold this year. It's always cold this time of year in Florida under our terms of cold, not your terms of cold. Where like I was talking to another pastor today. He's from Michigan. They flew out and the wind chill was like minus 11. Okay. So here when it's like 48, we're freezing. But I mean, as always, that's what it is this time of year. Blows in, blows out, blows in, blows out. That's what it does. It's 48 now to be 70 next week. That's what it always, nothing's changed, even though they claim it is. So they either create a crisis or they claim there is a crisis. And in climate change, it is, they are claiming that it's a crisis. Now, the other crises that they claim that are there or that they create is a crisis of misinformation. So they have to come in and control the media. There's a crisis of a pandemic. So they have to come in and control your healthcare choices. They claim there's a crisis in safety online. So they have to come in and clean out all the social media platforms. They have to ban you off of social media because there's a safety crisis on there. They claim that there's a food security problem on the planet. So they want to shut down half the farms so that America doesn't, so that the world doesn't starve to death. That's what they say. We need John Kerry. We need to shut down half the farms so that the world doesn't starve to death. And we're going to create these lab meat factories. Again, all of this so they can come in, whether it's a perceived or a created crisis or a crisis that's actually there, but not as much as they claim that there is, a caused by a crisis or a created crisis. They come in and they offer their totalitarian solutions, which are always them grabbing all power and allowing you to rent back that power. That's what they do. They actually come in and claim all material goods and have you rent them back if you qualify under their standards to rent them back. Again, you'll own nothing and be happy with which they have conveniently 2 years ago removed from their website after everybody discovered it. It was on there for years. And then we all played the video. All these conservative podcasts played the video. You'll own nothing and be happy. Well, then if I own nothing and I'm happy, well, who owns everything and isn't happy? That's my question. Who owns everything and isn't happy? Because if I own nothing and I'm happy, then who owns everything and is actually not happy? Because somebody is then renting everything to me. That is what they want. That's what they want. They claim that they are there for our safety. They need to control speech online so that I don't get boo-boos on my feelings. I don't need Klaus Schwab to do that. I don't need Xi Jinping to do that. I don't need John Kerry to do that. I don't need any globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist to do that. I'll worry about the boo-boos on my heart myself. Thank you very much. Boo-boos on my feelings. I'm fine. And you can apply scripture to all of this because it all comes out of the verses that you hear all the time on this podcast, whether it's Revelation 13, 16, and 17, that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, what are they trying to do there? They want to control food because they say that the world is starving. So they need to control food themselves so that they can allocate it as they see fit if you qualify. If you don't have unacceptable views, quote Justin Trudeau, if you don't vote in an unacceptable way, if you have a good carbon score, a good carbon credit score, because they want to put emission readers on your phones so that whenever you buy, sell, trade, or travel, some nebulous human being or some nebulous algorithm or AI reads what kind of carbon impact that's going to have on the globe. I bought a 14-ounce ribeye, and I bought a 16-ounce Coke, and then my phone reads that and says, you have used this many carbon credits. You have caused this much CO2 to be used. So I only have a limited amount that I can buy according to whoever it is that creates these nebulous standards. That's what they want. So they can simply, and then all of our currency being central bank digital currency, I go over my carbon allotment for the month and my account gets shut down. And who controls all of this? Just some person somewhere who makes up these rules. That's what the World Economic Forum is all about. That's what it's always been about, is leveraging into one world commerce system with a single access point to all that commerce controlled by them. That's what it's all about. That's it. Simply that. And we're warned in scripture also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For when they shall say peace and safety, you'll hear in a minute, this is what they care about. Safety. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should not overtake you as a thief. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. So, that is what the World Economic Forum is all about. When they're going to say peace and safety, aren't they the ones always trying to keep you safe, wear a mask, stand 6 feet apart, take 10 vaccinations? Isn't that what they're, make sure your CO2 emissions are real low, because CO2, even though it is the life-giving gas, the life-giving mineral, so to speak, has to be limited to, we have to limit our consumption, but they don't somehow. All right, let's get to this. Alex Jones video. Trump declares war on the NWO. Play for me.
My administration is acting with unprecedented speed to fix the disasters we've inherited from a totally inept group of people and to solve every single crisis facing our country. This begins with confronting the economic chaos caused by the failed policies of the last administration. Over the past 4 years, our government racked up $8 trillion in wasteful deficit spending and inflicted nation-wrecking energy restrictions, crippling regulations, and hidden taxes like never before. The result is the worst inflation crisis in modern history and sky-high interest rates for our citizens and even throughout the world. Food prices and the price of almost every other thing known to mankind went through the roof. President Biden totally lost control of what was going on in our country, but in particular with our high inflation economy and at our border. Because of these ruinous policies, total government spending this year is $1.5 trillion higher than was projected to occur when I left office just 4 years ago. Likewise, the cost of servicing the debt is more than 230% higher than was projected in 2020. The inflation rate we are inheriting remains 50% higher than the historic target. It was the highest inflation probably in the history of our country. That's why from the moment I took office, I've taken rapid action to reverse each and every one of these radical left policies that created this calamity, in particular with immigration, crime, and inflation. On day one, I signed an executive order directing every member of my cabinet to marshal all powers at their disposal to defeat inflation and reduce the cost of daily life. I imposed a federal hiring freeze, a federal regulation freeze, a foreign aid freeze, and I created the new Department of Government Efficiency. I terminated the ridiculous and incredibly wasteful Green New Deal. I call it the Green New Scam. Withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord and ended the insane and costly electric vehicle mandate. We're going to let people buy the car they want to buy. I declared a national energy emergency, and that's so important, national energy emergency to unlock the liquid gold under our feet and pave the way for rapid approvals of new energy infrastructure. The United States has the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on earth, and we're going to use it. Not only will this reduce the cost of virtually all goods and services, it'll make the United States a manufacturing superpower and the world capital of artificial intelligence and crypto. My administration has also begun the largest deregulation campaign in history, far exceeding even the record-setting efforts of my last term. In total, the Biden administration imposed $50,000 in additional regulatory costs on the average American household over the last 4 years. I have promised to eliminate 10 old regulations for every new regulation, which will soon put many thousands of dollars back in the pockets of American families. To further unleash our economy, our majorities in the House and Senate, which we also took along with the presidency, are going to pass the largest tax cut in American history, including massive tax cuts for workers and family, and big tax cuts for domestic producers and manufacturers. And we're working with the Democrats on getting an extension of the original Trump tax cuts, as you probably know, by just reading any paper. My message to every business in the world is very simple. Come make your product in America, and we will give you among the lowest taxes of any nation on earth.
All right, so Trump wants to make, that's him talking to Davos. That's him talking to Klaus Schwab. He wants to make the United States a manufacturing and crypto superpower. He's talking about the ascendancy, the rising, the golden age of the United States. To the group of people who are trying to reduce the United States and standing, again, under the Biden administration, the first time in history our credit rating has ever been reduced, ever. $37 trillion in debt, $8 trillion added to that debt. Some say more than that, added to the debt by Joe Biden. In only 4 years, $8 trillion added to the debt. So the Davos crowd, which is also the Democratic Party, as well as Paul Ryan walking through the streets, as you'll see in a minute. Again, not just the Democratic Party, because most of the Republican Party is the Democratic Party. But Trump is talking about the ascendancy of America when, and I don't know if this is proper grammar, he's talking to the folks who want the descendancy of America. And he's just saying it like it is. Saying it as you should say it to people who want to destroy you. Wants to make the United States a manufacturing and crypto superpower. Wants to eliminate 10 regulations for every one they implement. Foreign aid freeze. That's already happened. Federal hiring freeze. Regulation freeze. Unlock drilling in the United States of America. Unlock permits for drilling in the United States of America. I mean, under Joe Biden, the increase to the service of the debt, I never heard this before, is 230% increase in servicing the debt. And of course, Davos wants wide open southern borders so that, and you've heard this a million times on this podcast, you have first world countries, i.e. the United States, flooded by third world immigrants who have no heritage connection to our founding documents. So they're very easily globally governed out of Davos, London, Beijing, and Glasgow, Scotland. That's what they want. That's the purpose of all of this. All right, let me show you this one. A Colin Rugg video. New Trump calls out Bank of America. Alex Jones video again. Breaking the WEF is literally feeding bugs. Oh, that's conspiracy theory. Is it? Is literally feeding Davos attendees bugs. Play it for me.
But this is insect protein energy bars. And there was a man giving these out by the hundred today. They really want you to eat the bugs. This is not a conspiracy theory, Alex. I couldn't believe it. I took it.
Gates is trying to ban cows and genetically modify those that they do have. He wants to put out a maggot milk where fly larvae are turned into milk. And then, as you said, they're hiding this stuff, and it's pure criminal activity.
And they didn't understand there were insects in it. And I asked the guy who was about to eat it. I said, did you hear him? There's insects in this. And he almost gagged.
First, the World Economic Forum was a conspiracy theory. And then you'll own nothing and be happy was a conspiracy theory. And then you'll eat the bugs is a conspiracy theory. Now we're seeing that obviously not one bit of it. Event 201 was a conspiracy theory. Not one bit of it is a conspiracy theory. Not one bit of it. They're actually feeding their own attendees on the streets with their grasshopper energy bars. No, thank you. I don't even, listen, if you're one of these, you might be one of these conservatives that likes to eat bugs. You want to eat them, you go right ahead. I don't eat bugs, okay? I don't eat them. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not eating bugs. Okay? I'm going to eat meat. All right? I'm going to eat basically anything I want, and I'm not going to be dictated to by anybody that my protein is going to be replaced with maggots and drink, as Alex Jones said, maggot milk. No, you know what? I'm going to drink my Fairlife milk. I love Fairlife milk. That's what I'm going to drink. Not going to drink your maggot milk that you're squeezing out of, making out of maggot juice. No, thank you. Now, here's the thing. All their so-called mitigations to the problems that they either create or cause, all of their mitigations, in other words, all their solutions to the problems they create or cause, none of them abide by it, the World Economic Forum. You think John Kerry's ever going to eat a bug bar? John Kerry flew there on a private jet again. Again, he's one of the hundreds of private jets flying into Davos, and all the people that fly in on these private jets into Davos want to mitigate CO2. One flight on a private jet emits more CO2 than your car will in your lifetime. And yet these people are advocates for lowering CO2? How is that possible? Why can't they just Zoom call in? They all love Zoom during COVID until they're all caught not Zooming and doing everything in person, having their big parties on Downing Street in London in person. Remember that? All right, here's another one. Colin Rugg video. New Trump calls out Bank of America CEO. This is what you do. This is what you do to an American company, an American CEO named Brian Moynihan. Call him out. He's sitting there. Notice how Trump, a lot of people, whenever they Zoom in, is that what you call it, Aaron? You zoom in from, like you have your own podium and you zoom into
the... Yeah, you can use Zoom or...
Remote. You remote in, they all dutifully, a lot of times, like right behind me, that's an LED wall, obviously not a real American flag. And everybody can see my shirt tonight. There you go. That's all. That's dedicated to the World Economic Forum. A lot of people dutifully, and behind Trump is an LED wall, a lot of them dutifully put World Economic Forum whenever they remote in, whenever they conference call in, whenever they zoom in.
Yeah.
They dutifully put that on there. Trump doesn't. He puts the American, one of the American symbols behind him. But this is how you deal with these people. Nobody ever wants to be direct. I can't be anything but direct. If you want to listen, I'm going to tell you where you stand with me and I stand with you. I'll tell somebody flat out, you don't like me, I don't like you. Let's just stay away from each other. I'll just tell you that. If that's the way that it is, I'm going to tell you that. Let's just make life easier. You stay away from me and I'll stay away from you. Is that good? Good. Okay, good. Let's have a great life. So this is what you're supposed to do. Nobody has the testicular fortitude to do this. That's why Trump had to come in. Because a lot of Republicans are jealous of Trump. Why? You're just, you know, the problem is you're not willing to do what he does. So why don't you just get on board and stop being jealous? Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Trump calls out Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan to his face. Play it for me.
And by the way, speaking of you, and you've done a fantastic job, but I hope you start opening your bank to conservatives, because many conservatives complained that the banks are not allowing them to do business within the bank, and that included a place called Bank of America. They don't take conservative business, and I don't know if the regulators mandated that because of Biden or what, but you and Jamie and everybody, I hope you're going to open your banks to conservatives, because what you're doing is wrong.
Mr. President, I'll say that your friend Gianni said hello, told me to tell you hello, and we look forward to sponsoring the World Cup when it comes, both this summer for the club and next year. So thank you for getting that for the United States.
He's talking about the World Cup coming to L.A. that just burned to the freaking ground. And this is a company that refuses to do business with conservatives. And that's why they need to be replaced. That's why I'm getting to be more and more of a fan of cryptocurrency. Because it's not regulated by the Fed. So you don't actually have people whose personal interests are being shown in how they regulate. I'm glad with that. I'm glad. So I'm getting to be more and more of a fan. But he doesn't even address what Trump said. Well, how about giving a direct answer of why you don't allow conservatives to bank your bank? And again, and I don't mean to be overly redundant with this, but everybody needs to understand this is what it's all about. That Bank of America is one of the six banks that they want to allow into America and have all these mom and pop banks closed, because it's very easy to regulate six banks. It's very easy through ESG environmental, social governance, through DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, through CRT, critical race theory. It's very easy to control six banks instead of 600 banks. So that's why they want to have only six, Bank of America being one of them, JP Morgan being another one. They want to have them because then it's very easy to control just six entities. All six of them will be CEOs that are Democrats. Or World Economic Forum, young global leaders, whatever it is, okay? That's what they want. And this, and Brian Moynihan is one of these, simply bans conservatives from doing business. The problem is, you're like, who cares? The problem is you can't do anything in America if you don't have a bank. What are you going to do, trade gold? You can't melt down your gold into gold pieces. And then Will and I, hey, Will, I want to buy your 9mm. What do you want, Tom? 9 shekels? No, you don't do that. You have to be part of a banking system. They debanked Nigel Farage. They've debanked Republicans here in the United States of America. Not even Republicans, genuine conservatives. Because without that, you can't conduct business. If you have $1 million, where are you going to keep it? I mean, again, I'll put in my, you know how big a safe you have to have to hold $1 million? What if you got 10 million? So they just simply debank you and take you out of the economy, leverage you into a one world commerce system because you don't, again, leverage you into one world commerce system with a singular access point to all world commerce, which would be banking. And if they debank you, then they, singular access point, they aren't allowing you access to the commerce system. Why are they debanking? Because you buy firearms. They debanked Winchester. I'm not saying Bank of America did. It was Wells Fargo who did. No, Wells Fargo is one of the six they want to allow in America. Again, if all, and it all becomes CBDC then, there is no cash. All they have to do is get sick. If it's all CBDC currency, central bank digital currency, and it's all inside of six banks regulated by the Fed, it's very easy for them to deny access to six banks instead of 6,000 banks or 600 banks. All right, let's go to the next one. This Avi Yemeni stuff, again, I told you this isn't the world's most exciting podcast, but this stuff is great. I love this stuff. So, Avi Yemeni video, Avi Yemeni, Rebel News, Ezra Levant, Rebel News, absolute COVID heroes, absolute heroes to this day, never bent, never gave an inch, never closed, never will, never masked, all those things. All right, Avi Yemeni video, UN officials, shocking answer today at Davos. Play for me, Will.
Tell me, do you have any idea how many terrorists are in the ranks of any UN organization?
No, I can't answer that question because I think you are asking me something that you, first of all, cannot answer like this. And secondly...
What do you mean I can't answer it?
Well, it's a generic question. How many terrorists are there in an organization? I mean...
Well, Rebel News, I know there's zero terrorists in that organization. Can you tell us, would you have any idea approximately how many terrorists are part of the UN institution?
No.
Does that worry you?
No, because you're assuming that there are. I'm just saying I have nothing to answer.
In honor, there were several terrorists.
To those who can answer those questions, I lead the United Nations Development Program.
But I'd say you're the person that could answer how many terrorists. Well, he thought he got away, but guess what? I had a couple more questions, and I caught him one more time. Watch what happened. Are you denying that there were terrorists in the UN?
No, you love putting me in a position where you think you...
It's just questions. The UN has terrorists in it. Listen, do you just know how many there are? The hostages were actually, were in UN.
With me, why don't you arrange them? We can have a proper interview.
Because you guys always say that and you never follow through.
Refuse to talk to you?
No, because you're forced to. You're running now. The hostages in Israel were in UN facilities. And also, on top of that, it's just been released yesterday.
Oh, really? Yeah. I have not seen that report.
And are you worried about Trump withdrawing funds from UNRWA? Do you think UNRWA should be rebranded as Hamas? Listen.
Sorry.
I think if they just called themselves Hamas, it would be... a more honest branding of UNRWA. An entire UN, I think, if we learn anything from the last 15 months, the UN is not only corrupt, but they are full of terrorists.
Now, you hear what Avi Yemeni asked him at the last second there. Is he getting a UN official? He's asking him about UNRWA, what I call UNRWA. I don't know if it's properly pronounced, or UNRWA, whatever, UNRWA, whatever, UNRWA. And that's where they found terrorist entities. That's why he's asking them. He's asking them, how many terrorists do you have? Isn't that a simple answer, Aaron? Will?
Yep.
How many terrorists do you have working for you? Isn't that a simple answer? Chris Ray, how many FBI assets did you have dressed up as Trump supporters in the Capitol prior to the Capitol briefs, holding hands with Aquilino Gunnell, Harry Dunn, and Michael Fanone? I mean, I'm just curious. Did you have any? I can't answer that question. Shouldn't the answer be absolutely none? None? Shouldn't your answer be, as a UN official, how many terrorists do you have working for them, for you? None. Thank you for asking. That's it. But no, he says he doesn't know. Or he can't answer. And he said both. I can't answer and I don't know. UNRWA, had Aaron look it up for me. We had it before, but I couldn't remember all what it all stood for. I got the UN part. Yeah. United Nations. United Nations Relief Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East. And that's where they found a bunch of terrorists. Where were they rescuing the Israeli hostages? In Gaza. Anybody know? They're rescuing them in UN-controlled buildings.
Oh.
That's weird, isn't it? I mean, it's almost as if the UN is Hamas. Isn't it weird? It's weird, isn't it? That they actually are finding the hostages in UN-controlled facilities? UN facilities that were built by the United Nations. In other words, they were built by Aaron and Will and me and you. Because we send all of our money there. So we actually spend our taxpayer dollars for the UN to build buildings for Hamas to use to hold and kill hostages under the United Nations Relief Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. America video. President Trump, no longer will our government label speech of our citizens as mis- or disinformation. Play it for me.
In addition, I'm pleased to report that America is also a free nation once again. On day one, I signed an executive order to stop all government censorship. No longer will our government label the speech of our own citizens as misinformation or disinformation, which are the favorite words of censors and those who wish to stop the free exchange of ideas and, frankly, progress. We have saved free speech in America, and we've saved it strongly.
The key word in that statement is no longer will our government label speech of our citizens mis- or disinformation. Listen. If you want to label this entire podcast misinformation, you have the right to do it. You know what? I don't have the right to force you not to label this podcast as misinformation. Go ahead and label it that way. Again, I've said this 1,000 times, but if it crosses into any sort of verbiage, crosses the line into defamation, which is basically prohibiting somebody through what you say from making a living. If I make wretched, horrible, dishonest accusations against somebody, calling them a child molester, and then they can't get a job. That's defamation. That's defamation. Not saying that the 2020 election was stolen. Not Alex Jones saying what he said about Sandy Hook, which was very little. He barely said anything. He had other people reporting to him. It's not, you're allowed to do that. That's not, doesn't even rise to the level of defamation. If it does, then again, you still have the right to defame. That's because defamation is a civil offense. It is not criminal. So you still have the right to defame if you want to. You could suffer in court for it. But now no longer will the government be going to and meeting with Google every week, Facebook every week, Twitter every week under Dorsey, and Mark Zuckerberg will no longer open a back door to the FBI and to the State Department so that they can come in and label posts posted by people like you and me as disinformation and have Mark Zuckerberg bent over, spread wide, taking him down. I don't care how much he says about they yelled and screamed and used profanity. Mark, did they make you open a back channel to the FBI so the FBI had direct access to my post, your post? And flag them as disinformation. Not one of them was disinformation. The very purveyors of lies and disinformation are the disinformation police. It's like Congress. They have committees overseeing energy while they invest in energy. All right, this is another good one. What's Paul Ryan doing at the World Economic Forum? He's on the board of Fox. He ran for vice president under the banner of Republican. He says he's a conservative who now wants peace with Trump. What's he doing at the World Economic Forum? Ezra Levant bumped into him. Play for me, Will.
You refuse to congratulate the president. That seems...
No, I refuse to talk to you because you're being obnoxious.
I'm not being obnoxious. I'm asking a very simple, easy question. Hey, look who I just bumped into on the streets of Davos. What's Paul Ryan doing here? You know who I mean. He was the Speaker of the House and then he ran for vice president. I asked him some questions. He didn't like them. Mr. Ryan, can I ask you for your thoughts on Donald? Give me a word on Donald Trump.
I'm good.
Are you optimistic that he'll be a good president?
I'm good.
I mean, I know you're good.
I don't like doing walk and talk interviews. It's just not my style.
Well, just give me a word. It sounds like you're resentful of the president. It sounds like
you're trying to put words in my mouth.
Well, then put your own words in your mouth.
You're good at what you do.
Well, I'm not, because I'm not eliciting a good answer from you.
You're not voting yet.
Well, why wouldn't you at least commend the president for his victory?
Yeah, I need you to send me the QR code so I can get in. Yeah. Yeah, just text me the QR code. Yeah, well, I didn't check that email. Let me check that one. Hang on a second. All right, I'll call you back.
Don't you seem a little stingy?
I'm a little busy.
All the world leaders are at least congratulating him. You refuse to congratulate the president. That seems...
No, I refuse to talk to you because you're being obnoxious.
I'm not being obnoxious. I'm asking a very simple, easy question.
Here's what I want you to do. Go on Bloomberg yesterday and look at my TV interview and use theirs.
I think you're jealous. I think you had your shot and you failed and you're sort of grudging towards Trump, who won. Is that wrong?
Hang on a second. Yeah, there's... Right. No. Yeah, you got to send me the QR code. Right. Yeah, no, that's what I need just to get in. All right. Let me check that email. Okay.
Are you still working out? I'm trying to...
I'm not going to entertain your obnoxious... You're being obnoxious.
I mean, you're calling me obnoxious. Actually, I think you're being obnoxious. You're refusing to say even a grudging congratulations to the new president.
No, I'm just not going to talk to you.
Why?
Hang on a second, all right?
I love the fake phone calls. I mean, the fake phone, you can tell Aaron spotted it. The phone isn't even on. He said, I love the fake phone. I need the QR code so that I can get in. It reminds me, whenever I'm faking phone calls, I act like I'm getting directions. Oh, so you mean west of there? Oh, you mean, okay, to the west of it, then take a right. That's what I do whenever I'm faking a phone call. It sounded just like me when I'm faking a phone call. But anyway, this is the embodiment. He knows he's been caught at Davos. And all these guys, it's amazing to me that they must still live. Listen, I love the 90s. Do you guys like, well, Aaron's too young. I don't know if you guys, do you like the 90s? I mean, the 90s were great. Mm-hmm. They really were. I mean, life was better without these. It really was. It was better without these. I know no one believes it anymore, and I'm as addicted as everybody else. I'm just saying, life was better without them. It really was. And back then, not everything was videotaped. Not back then, you couldn't run an entire media empire on one of these. Like, a lot of people lives of TikTok. They run the media. They have a media empire based on these things, and God bless them for doing it, Shai Rachek. People like that. Okay, these guys like Paul Ryan must think that we're still back in 1993. That you're gonna get caught wherever you go. Today, I was at the winter camp meeting at the River Church in Tampa. Okay, you could come interview me. I'm not afraid. Tom, what do you think about abortion? It's murder. No problem. What do you think about homosexuals? They're gonna burn in hell for all of eternity. I have no problem answering the questions. None whatsoever. What are you doing here? I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe with being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues. That's why I'm here.
Amen.
That's it. I mean, I don't have a problem. Why is Paul Ryan running? You can answer the questions. Why haven't you congratulated Donald Trump? Why don't you just say it? Because I hate him. Why don't you just say it? Or publicly repent and say, you know what? I should have. Whatever it is. Why are you running? Because he's been discovered being at a leftist hub as a Republican, because he's not really a Republican. He is a leftist saboteur, is what he is. Along with Romney, Ryan, McConnell, Murkowski, Collins, Ernst, Thune, Cornyn, and a bunch of others I could name. All right, let's go to the next one. Mario Knopfall video. Oil prices and economy policy. Here's Trump urges Saudi Arabia and OPEC to lower oil prices. Play for me.
And it's also reported today in the papers that Saudi Arabia will be investing at least $600 billion in America. But I'll be asking the Crown Prince, who's a fantastic guy, to round it out to around $1 trillion. I think they'll do that because we've been very good to them. And I'm also going to ask Saudi Arabia and OPEC to bring down the cost of oil. You got to bring it down, which, frankly, I'm surprised they didn't do before the election. That didn't show a lot of love by them not doing it. I was a little surprised by that. If the price came down, the Russia-Ukraine war would end immediately. Right now, the price is high enough that that war will continue. You got to bring down the oil price. You got to end that war. They should have done it long ago. They're very responsible, actually, to a certain extent for what's taking place. Millions of lives are being lost. With oil prices going down, I'll demand that interest rates drop immediately. And likewise, they should be dropping all over the world. Interest rates should follow us.
So I've zoomed into the World Economic Forum now myself. And I just want to tell the World Economic Forum, hey, you suck. There you go. Zoomed in. There we're live at the World Economic Forum. World Economic Forum sucks. They're liars. They're totalitarians. And shut up, commies. There you go. Let me show you this one now. Andy Ngo video. Rebel media confronted. Here's another one. Another American walking around the streets of Davos. John Kerry about his private jet travel. Play for me.
Mr. Kerry. Can I ask you? Donald Trump has said that he is pulling out of the Paris Accord. Do you have any comment on that?
No, I think it's what he did before. I think we all expected him to do that. But I think that the marketplace is moving forward. Countries all around the world. Hey, man, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Countries all around the world are going to continue to compete. And there will be a lot of jobs and a lot of products made, which I hope America isn't going to miss out on. So we're going to keep working.
No. Can I ask you, did you fly commercial to get here?
Partway, yes.
Partway, and then what?
What do you mean, and then what?
Well, you're an advocate against climate change.
The badge, please. Excuse me.
Here.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Mr. Kerry, we got interrupted last time. Quick question. Why are you here now when you're not in any professional...
I'm sorry, sir. No questions.
That's okay. He can talk for himself.
I'm in the private sector.
You're in the private sector now?
Sure.
And you told us that you part flew here privately.
Sorry, we're not
Irish, too, you know. That's how you get here.
No, but you told me, last year you got very upset that we implied that you took private jets. Yesterday you told us that you...
I'm not going to waste my time with you.
So you said you part traveled. What part did you travel here privately?
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry. Is it now worth it in the private sector?
Sorry, sir,
is your carbon footprint worth it now?
We're not doing any
flying,
interviews.
Obviously, sorry, private jets.
Can you disclose who your clients are? Don't you think that's relevant? You used to work for the U.S. government. Who do you work for now?
Question.
Shouldn't you disclose it?
I work in several capacities now.
Can you name them, please?
Well, if you like that, I'll have my office put them all out here.
I'm skeptical that you will, sir, with all respect. Can you tell me at least one of them? Surely you know.
Look, I'm not going to put up with your ridiculous...
It's not disrespectful. I respect you, sir.
You are.
I'm asking who you work for, because it's not known right now.
I work for Galvanize Climate Solutions.
And how long have you been working with them?
Full-time.
So he's moved from the government sector as our climate czar into the private sector as a pseudo-representative of a problem that doesn't exist, but's going to be used as a vehicle to control your life. That's simply what climate change is. Because all of us, if we're honest, it's just like during COVID. Where are all the bodies? I'm just curious. Again, as a cop for 25 years, I tend to just go ahead and look at a scenario for evidence. And I was just curious, where are all the bodies? I went to hospitals, and I had another guy going to hospitals, and there was nobody even in the hospitals for COVID. During the epicenter of the pandemic, during the height of the pandemic, nobody was in the hospitals. And I'm sitting in a community that average age is like 60. But nobody was in the hospitals here, even in the most endangered age group, right? Weird. So I was just always wondering, if this is such a pandemic, like bubonic plague, they used to stack the bodies outside of their houses on the streets. I was just wondering where they all were. And it's the same thing here with climate change. I'm just curious, how's it changed? And how is it, where are all the bodies? If it's such a, if it's such a danger, where are all the bodies? And as a 56-year-old man, why is the climate exactly the same as it was when I was 46, 36, 26, 16, 6, and non-existent? Just curious. I'm wondering. All right, Peter Sweden video. The German prime minister at the World Economic Forum that said that Europe doesn't accept free speech if it's supporting extreme right positions. Play it for me.
The dealing of Elon Musk, I had a lot of things to comment in the past because he was discussing a lot about Europe. Just to repeat what I already said, we have the freedom of speech in Europe and in Germany. Everyone can say what he wants, even if he is a billionaire. And what we do not accept is if this is supporting extreme right positions.
All right, so Aaron subbed it up while we were watching the video. You have the freedom of speech to agree with us. That's it. I mean, imagine being somebody from allegedly a democratic country. German prime minister says that Europe doesn't accept free speech if it's supporting extreme, define extreme, right, define right, positions, define positions. So who's going to be the arbiter of these definitions? Who is going to be the discerner of these definitions? And why is it that you have, I guess you have freedom of speech if you support extreme left positions? You don't have freedom of speech if you are extreme right, but you do have freedom of speech if you're extreme left. So Germany lurches right back into the 1930s and 40s because it was the extreme leftists that opened up Dachau and the concentration camps. It was the extreme left that confiscated all the firearms inside of Germany, which then made everybody inside of Germany helpless against the Third Reich. It was the extreme left that said that Jews had a greater potential to transmit typhoid than anybody else, so they put them in COVID camps, typhoid camps. Weird. It was the left that put Japanese citizens in concentration camps in America. It was the left that put people in COVID camps in Canada, Australia, China, and New Zealand, put them in COVID camps, not the right. So I guess those extreme left positions are allowed and are under the umbrella of free speech, but extreme right positions like the Second Amendment, the freedom of speech in and of itself, the right to life, the right to buy, sell, trade, or travel as you see fit, those are all extreme right positions that are not protected by free speech laws. Okay, that's the World Economic Forum right there. All right, Peter St. Ange video. The entire world is going populist. Play for me, Will.
The entire world is going populist, so says the Financial Times, with Zerohead summing it up. Quote, in 2024, democracy spoke and it roared with anger. The evidence is a new analysis finding that for the first time since 1900, votes fell for every single ruling party in an advanced country. What's driving the anger is three things: the economy, immigration, and a social media that is letting voters hear what's actually happening in their countries. On the economy, I've mentioned wages that failed to keep up with inflation. This is leading to a plunge in social mobility, as the rich find ways to dodge the falling boulders, but the poor get wiped out. This combines with immigration to decimate the working class, as it turns out importing the third world also imports third world wages. In raw numbers, out of 12 elections in advanced countries last year, the party in power lost, on average, 7% of the vote. Now, 7 points in politics is a big deal. It's the difference between a win and a landslide loss. Where did the voters go? To the populist right. Nearly 90% of the gain was on the right, with a smattering of voters going to the radical left, presumably disappointed in a crony left-wing elite that sold them out to globalist corporations. The swing was massive among the young, who are turning en masse against the entire system. The biggest swing was young men, so most American men actually voted for Trump. That's up from just 1 in 3 traditionally voting Republican. This is turning Gen Z right, an echo of the increasingly right-wing Gen X. In Europe, it's even more extreme, with right populists going from 20% of the young male vote in 2014 to nearly 60% today. Even European women went from 20% in 2014 to nearly 40% now voting right-wing populist. In other words, young Europeans are now significantly more right-wing than young Americans. In fact, if only young Europeans voted, Europe would be substantially to the right of Donald Trump. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. We are witnessing a realignment, a complete rejection of the center-left globalists who've misrun the West for a generation, with economy and mass immigration the tip of the spear. Now that Trump has liberated America, and even Canada looks like its long nightmare might be over, attention is turning across the pond, where a savior is haunting Europe, the savior of populism. First up will be Germany, with elections due in February, where the right populist AfD is second in the polls, the first time in 80 years for an outside party. Meanwhile, polls show the left-wing governments of Australia and Norway are on course to lose power in the coming months, with Poland, Czech Republic, and Ireland all facing voters, no doubt, with trepidation. In some countries, the government is so unpopular they could actually have early elections, one poster child being Britain, where a communist groomer, Keir Starmer, is now scoring just 25% in the polls, mere months after taking office. Elon Musk recently posted that while Donald Trump was a big win, we are not safe until the entire West is liberated. The next 12 months is our chance. New episode of the Roundup podcast just dropped. Check it
back
out.
To me. All right, so there you go. The world is turning our way. This is great news. Put the next one up for me, Will. Leading report tweet. Look at this. Breaking: left-wing political parties worldwide are now more unpopular than at any time since the Cold War, except in Starmer's Britain, according to an analysis. Now, that was actually refuted by what Peter St. Ange said. It just has to do with demographics. But anyway, Starmer's Britain, according to an analysis by Telegraph. Look at that. Look at how the world is turning our way. Look at where, basically, look, like, we're well above. Well, we're right at 50%. And they are, I mean, and we're going up. And they are right about at maybe 44, 45% and going down. We're winning. And we've been saying that on this podcast for 5 years. We're actually winning. Even when the Democratic Party and the Steele dossier and Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele and, you know, the entire Clinton campaign machine stole the election in 2020. Well, that was the whole Steele dossier thing. And then tried after Trump won, tried to get him removed from office. And then, of course, the election was stolen in 2020 via COVID, using Zucker boxes, untraceable ballots, no signature verifications, no voter ID. Even in the darkest of times, we were always winning the entire time. We are winning now. Argentina has turned their entire country around in less than a year. El Salvador, exactly the same thing. That guy that you just saw, the prime minister of Germany, he's about to lose. As he sits at the World Economic Forum pontificating about the lack of free speech, calling it free speech, it's so funny because the world's inverted. As he talks about banning speech in the name of free speech, they're all going to be replaced or severely challenged. And that graph is no lie. That is where the world is going right now. And it's great news. We need to enjoy this time. Now, Citizen Free Press video. I had to show you this. This video is startling. This is from 2024, 2025. This is very, very new. But it's entitled, "How's That Socialized Medicine Working Out in Canada?" And it goes along with our theme of why the world is turning populist nationalist. Play for me, Will.
After hours in a line that snaked around Walkerton's Legion Hall and down surrounding streets, Susan Marshall is cold.
I'm sorry, but I'm frozen. That's my fine. Lips are frozen right now.
But the payoff is huge. After 5 years, she will finally have a family doctor. Walkerton is getting a new physician. 500 patients will get a spot. No triage, though, just first come, first served. Since the early morning hours, more than 1,000 people came to line up here in the cold, in the snow, all desperate, all with stories of what life has been like without a family doctor.
It says that there's a problem if there's this many people willing to come out in a snowstorm to try and get a doctor.
My husband, he has fairly serious health issues, and many times I feel like I'm not able to cope.
Most end up in the ER or simply go untreated.
I just absolutely waited out until I absolutely have to go to the hospital.
There is similar desperation in many parts of the country. More than 6 million Canadians don't have a family doctor.
We're seeing Hunger Games all across Ontario.
It's unsustainable, says the president of the Ontario Medical Association.
What happens when you can't find a family doctor? You end up using the emergency department for care, end up missing cancer, another important preventive care.
Now, in Walkerton, some just got a much-needed lifeline.
We've had 5 years now without a doctor, so it feels like we hit one.
So 5 years without a doctor. If you would, Aaron, roll that side by side for just a second here. So look at this. This is the result of voting for the Democratic Party. You're like, Tom, the Democratic Party is not in Great Britain. It's called the Liberal Party in Canada. This is the Liberal Party. This is what you get. Now, if you look at some of these people, what's so funny about them is they stand there. Look, in the snow, 500 people waiting to sign up for a doctor in the snow because they haven't had a doctor for 5 years. And one of them is dutifully wearing the mask. Oh, says she has her mask, which is an oath of allegiance to the party that put her in this situation. There she is. There she is. Can you freeze that, Aaron? That woman is the living embodiment of the problem. Will's laughing. He's right to laugh. She's out there in a snowstorm, okay, outside, with what appears to be an N95 mask in 2025. And she doesn't sense that the cause of the problem is her own voting. The person who told you to put that mask on is the one who has implemented the policies that's causing you to stand out in the snow in January of 2025 with 1,000 other Canadians waiting to sign up for a doctor. And as Aaron says, don't worry, you'll get your doctor today, just no care. As none of them ever get. And then you'll have, it's amazing to watch, as Justin Trudeau or Chrystia Freeland or that left-tard politician who got so mad, the woman who got so mad at Donald Trump for saying that we're going to make Canada the 51st state. Saying you can come again and get free health care. See how they're just liars? And this woman votes for the other woman who has landed her in this state, has landed her in line in January in a snowstorm waiting for a doctor with 1,000 other Canadians. And she votes for the woman who puts her in that predicament. And she will over and over again. And she wears their oath of allegiance around her neck in January of 2025. For a virus that doesn't even exist anymore. Amazing to me. I mean, you're like, Tom, move on. Get past it. It's amazing to me how people vote for their own demise while they're demising. That just blows my mind. Speaking of that, let's transition to the Justin Trudeau of America, which is Gavin Newsom of California. You can just side by side this one, guys. There's no point in everybody hearing this. I just want everyone to actually see it happening. There it is, Amendment 1. California State Assembly. It's just a bunch of political jargon, so there's no point in even listening to them talk. But what's going on here? Get this, Aaron. Get this, Will. Democrats in Sacramento, the state capital, just voted to block $1 billion for wildfire prevention. So I guess that's to what? Actually fill the water, to actually fill the retention ponds, the reservoirs, to actually fill the hydrants full of water? That's the vote as they vote right here. They voted against it. So they don't want to actually fill their reservoirs, their water hoses, or their fire hydrants. Democrats in Sacramento just voted to block $1 billion for wildfire prevention. Their failure to invest in prevention directly led to the disastrous fires. Yeah, right. They would rather spend our tax dollars. This is a bill S.A. Lee video. They would rather spend our tax dollars to fund health care for illegal immigrants, which they used the $17 million they cut from the Los Angeles Fire Department to fund illegal immigrants' housing. All right, go to the next one for me. Actually, you can just side-by-side this one too, Aaron. Here it is. Now, while they're doing this, this is what's happening. Oh, that's numb. That's weeks old. No, no, that's happening now. So while they're in Sacramento voting against, voting to block a $1 billion bill for wildfire prevention, a massive new fire erupts near Los Angeles County, the Los Angeles County community of Castaic, already growing to 1,000 acres. But don't worry, you're, and again, this is just like the left-tard moron woman in Canada where their swastika for the Liberal Party in Canada, her COVID mask. The people that, in this area right here of Los Angeles, Castaic, will now vote for the people who just voted to block $1 billion for wildfire prevention. So they'll vote for their own demise. Over and over and over again. I just will never, ever understand it. Let's go to the next one. Ashley Zavala tweet. But don't worry. Don't worry, Will. Don't worry, Aaron. California's all over it. They're all over it. New California Senate approves Trump-proofing. Hey, Will, are you able to go back to that fire from the previous video? Back. Not the next one. There you go. So while they're voting to Trump-proof California, California itself is burning to the ground. All right, now go back to the Ashley Zavala video. I just want everybody to see it. That's what these are. All these things are happening at the same time. Look at the dates. Look at the dates. All happening at the same time. They're banning a bill that would provide $1 billion for wildfire prevention while Castaic, California burns to the ground. Excellent job, guys. And now they're doing this. New California Senate approves Trump-proofing bills while Castaic, California burns to the ground. To give $25 million to the California DOJ, Department of Justice, and $25 for immigration legal services. I don't think that's correct. For legal battles with the president. There you go. Passed on mostly party line votes. So the Democrats, once again, are voting for their own demise. Voting for empty fire hydrants while they Trump-proof California. But don't worry. Kind of gave it away because we flashed the video. Don't worry. Kamala has arrived. Kamala has arrived on scene to give an inspirational speech to the LA Fire Department. Play for me, Will.
Strangers who, in the face of that stranger, they see a neighbor. These are folks who understand the strength and the value of community, which is everyone coming together with a shared sense of purpose and identity as a community of people. And I wanted to come by, most importantly, to thank them, those who have volunteered and have brought people together and have sacrificed so much, and our firefighters. And I mentioned to these firefighters the fact that California firefighters, time and time again, prove themselves to be the best.
If I was one of those firefighters, I would make sure that prior to that, I ate a Meat Lover's Pizza Hut pizza with wings so that I'd be firebombing that woman right in the middle of my gas. She'd have to like sit there and continue on. And I love her, like she tries to do this relaxed tone and she sounds drunk. She tries to sound like the everyday woman and she sounds like a drunkard. Did anybody understand one thing she said there? Anything at all? But don't worry, Kamala has left DC and she's now addressing the fires in California. That's all she's doing, but she is addressing that while they Trump-proof and ban fire prevention money from actually being allocated to prevent fires. Truly amazing. I have to show you this. Johnny Midnight video. Democrats with their hand in the cookie jar. You can just side-by-side this one, guys. Look at this now. Johnny Midnight video. Democrats with their hand in the cookie jar. Orange County, California poll worker caught triple scanning on November 8th of 2024. That's, again, why is this never Republicans that do it? It's always Democrats. Again, I guess this woman is now going to sue people for defamation because they say that she triple scanned ballots. She put the same ballots. three times into the same machine. So she counted that stack of ballots three times, probably all for Democratic Party candidates. And she now, like Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, sued Rudy Giuliani into financial oblivion for saying what was true. And that is that Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss fed the same ballots in the same machine over and over again. And then that video footage was not allowed in Rudy Giuliani's defamation trial. The exculpatory footage was not allowed in his defamation trial. So there it is. Again, they're doing the exact same thing again. Wonder, like Trump said, he's going to turn California red. He can, because California actually is already red. But if you're counting every Democratic ballot, Democratic Party ballot three times, yeah, you're obviously not going to win. I wonder why it is. First of all, why are they scanning ballots on November 8th when the election was over on November 5th? Why is it that we didn't know the election results in California until a month later? All just so they have time to scan the same ballots three or four times over, you know, say, the scan the exact same ballots over and over again. That's why. All right, 10-17. That's good. I got a lot more. I got a lot on J6 stuff. Didn't get to it. We'll do it tomorrow. As Aaron says,
there's always tomorrow.
There's always another there's always another podcast. We'll do it tomorrow. So I got a lot more on the J6 stuff, a lot more stuff breaking out on that stuff. Let me see my rest of my pile over here that I didn't get to. We got the Hegseth stuff, Murkowski. Lisa Murkowski's good voting no on Hegseth. She needs to be Murkowski is the dangerous one for herself because she's in Alaska. She can be voted out. Collins is a lost cause in Maine. But Murkowski can be voted out, and she needs to be primaried. Charlie Kirk needs to go ahead and just assign himself and Scott Pressler to Lisa Murkowski and primary her out of political existence. All right, Rumble Rants, Texas Billy, $50. Thank you so much. Tammy L. Margrader, $10. Chopper Supernut, $1. Really appreciate you guys. Love you. Stick around for the postgame. Still over 1,000 people on right now. Stick around for a very short but awesome postgame. Watch that last video. It's awesome. It's Trump. Stick around for it. You'll love it. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. See you then.
I'm not talking about those who aren't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And I'm even especially talking about those who used to be excited about their walk with God. Maybe those who are saved that have never really been excited. And I'm asking myself, why aren't they excited about Jesus, about their walk with God? And I want to tell you why. Are you ready? The reason why is because you've come in before and you've been lit on fire and you really liked it and you went home and did nothing with it. And then you got lit on fire again, got really excited, and then went home and did nothing with it. You've got to go home and pray, Bible study, worship, and fellowship daily. Or it will go out your carnal mind, which is a clanging cymbal, will drown out the love of God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.